Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth to Power Show, and my name is Beverly D. And tonight, I have another informative and knowledgeable guest. I call him Dr. Asir, and he has a PhD in international law. He is an accomplished artist. I've seen some of his work. He does beautiful work. He's also a recording artist. He has an online class that's going to be coming up in December that he will talk about. And tonight on the show, he is going to talk about the coming collapse of the present government and the spiritual ramification of this event. So this sounds like something that is going to be very knowledgeable, seems like we're going to learn here. And so that is the purpose of the Truth to Power Show, is to bring you the masters on so they can teach you and help you to get that wisdom and understanding. So let me bring my guest on tonight. Dr. Asir, is this you? Hello? Hello? Okay, let me see if where's my guest. Is this Dr. Asir? Is this 832? Can you speak up and tell me, is this you or is this not you? Okay, I guess this is not Dr. Asir. And so, we will be patient tonight. We will see when the doctor comes on. And so I really want to hear what he has to say about the coming collapse of this government. Now, he's saying that, and he wants to look at also the spiritual ramification of what he says is about to happen. And so this is something that sounds very enlightening. I'm familiar with Dr. Asir. He's a very learned young man, very knowledgeable. And so I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say about this. And so while I am waiting on Dr. Asir to come on, then we're just going to have a truth to power conversation here. So I'm going to pull up someone here and we'll see what's going on here. Area code 313 926. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Beverly.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
And so I'm waiting on my guest to appear. I mean, to log on or call in. And so we're just going to have a conversation here while we're waiting. I'm talking to you and I'm chatting with someone else. So I'm doing the octopus thing here.
Okay, then. Well, what was the name of your show tonight was? Y'all were going to talk about the collapse and the spiritual.
Dr. Asir wants to talk about the coming collapse of this present government. And he says he's going to look at it from a spiritual ramification of what's about to happen. He says it hasn't happened yet, but it is going to happen.
Oh, okay then. Can we touch around that a little bit?
Well, sure, because my guest hasn't showed up, and so if he shows up or until he shows up, we can have this conversation.
Well, then let's try to do a little prediction then. I'm going, there is truth in what he's saying in this present government, because if they don't give this government the president here, all right, then an opportunity to get it together, and everybody don't work as one, then it will crumble, and it'll be like it is now. They got to work together like a fish. Fish. I can't get that word right. Like your fish, doubly.
All right. Okay, a fish.
Yeah, like a fish. Like your fish. Okay. I can't get that word out. Sound like I said.
You talking about like a fish in the water?
No, I'm talking about like your fish in your hand.
Oh, like a fist, like somebody fighting.
Right, right. You got to put. We have to fight for this. We have to put all this stuff together, and we do it separately. He's right. It'll collapse. But if we work together, and like I said, they picked them, give them an opportunity to clean up the other one mess. And like they said, it's going to take a little while. But right now, spiritually, everybody needs to pitch in together and help the old and the young and help everybody keep strong. There's several solutions out here, but don't look like everybody's trying to help the solutions, because some people got it good and a lot of people are selfish. And I'm going, they're not looking at the majority. Until we all get on the same page, then I agree with the doctor that, yeah, this whole situation could collapse. Because now they're trying to do one world global. They're trying to put everything under one leadership quietly as a cap. And a lot of people ain't having that. But at the same time, it's do for the people, not for yourself, Beverly.
But you saying a lot of people not having it. I mean, it just seems like they doing what they want to do, and people are going along with it anyway. And some people are saying that in the chat room, some people are saying that the new USA is actually China.
It's what now?
It's China. Somebody in the chat room is saying that the new United States is China, or America is China.
Oh, okay. Then, well, that's because they got a lot of investment over there. They borrowing their money, and it's a young country, and they need somebody to fool. I mean, like I said, we already know our solution is within the earth and the atmosphere, but man wants to depend on him. For example, like that good doctor, like you say, was saying, that the spiritual situation right now, they need to point to the positive, they need to show the positive, and then they need to build on the positive. And until they do it that way, then it ain't going to be positive. And I'm going, they need strong structure. You can't do it when you got people who's trying to destroy it. So like I said, he's right. Spiritually, we have to be mentally, see what we're doing, then we got to physically make it happen, then we have to stick to it, Beverly.
Okay. Well, Shadon, I'm going to put you on hold to see if this is the doctor. I'll come back to you,
problem.
Okay? All
no
right?
Problem. Right.
Hello, is this Asir? Hello? 919? Hello, is this Dr. Asir?
Yes, it is. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Yes. Now, I was telling the people that what you're going to discuss tonight is the coming collapse of the present government. And yes. You're going to look at the spiritual ramification of this event.
Yes, ma'am.
So yes. Can you kind of tell us what's that about?
It's a lot, but to condense it, well, first I would say peace to the human families of the planet Earth. Thank you, Queen, for having me on the show.
Thank you.
The listeners for definitely having me on again. And, that's basically what's going on. Well, where do we start? Okay, we're almost in the year and a half term of the current, what they call President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And what people don't understand about government and how it functions is that at one time on a planetary system, there was no such thing as a government. Government in the modern capacity came about during the time of what they call the Crusades, right? And during that time, you had two basically political ideologies that were conflicting with one another. One was the Order of Christ, and the other one was the Order of Islam, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how we look at them, those two so-called religious concepts today, are not what they were looked at the time that these things were happening. We look at it, Christianity and Islam, as a religious thing. Back in those days, those people were dealing with it from a perspective of a political ideology, okay? So you could be, let's say a dark-skinned, so-called African or Moorish person from, let's say, Africa, right? And mm-hmm. you are a so-called Muslim, or considered what they call a Muslim or a Muslim, right? That did not mean, though, that if you had, let's say, political ties or tribal ties with, let's say, the Dogon or people in Dahomey or something like that, it didn't mean that just because you followed that, you didn't, let's say, participate in any other thing that your family may have been a part of up until that time. It wasn't a cutoff thing. It's not like today where, if I say that I'm a Christian, right, well, nowadays people say, okay, well, what type? But we have this thing in our brains based on how we're educated here that if you say you're this, then this is what you are, and that's all you are. You understand? So whenever you have a system of absolutes like that, it doesn't leave time for the people to naturally express themselves. So these two political ideologies that began to conflict around the time of the Crusades, that conflict never ended. You understand what I'm saying? The original people kicked the Crusaders out, let's say around 750 A.D., right, of the so-called Gregorian calendar, right? So when that happened, those so-called knights that were kicked out of Jerusalem, it wasn't to say that they weren't allowed to still practice Christianity under Islamic rule, see what I'm saying, and vice versa. Because, again, we're dealing not with a religion thing, we're dealing with a political concept. So sometimes people, you have Moors, for instance, that were in the Order of Christ that still practice things like haremage, that didn't eat pork, you know what I mean, that all spoke Arabic, and that you would know that they were Christian based on how they looked or the lifestyle that they led. You see what I'm saying? Because it wasn't about a religious, proving religious fervor. It wasn't about that. It was about what system can I use to politically couch my true agenda in. You see what I'm saying? So when you hear a lot of scholars talking about, you know, how Islam overran Africa and enslaved everybody and this and that, things like that did happen. However, usually the people who are saying that are coming from a religious perspective. You understand what I'm saying? So it's always going to be slanted. You know, everybody plays the victim, you know, when they want something out of it. You know what I'm saying? So, so systematically, the things that happened back then, we are still dealing with now, okay? But because we are, and when I say we, I mean globally, people of any so-called nationality, religion, whatever, most people, let's say 99.9% of the people globally are being miseducated, right? So that would leave, let's say, 0.1% of those people who may have a truest education, but because it's so few of them, they feel they can't do nothing about it. That is a political strategy that brought about what we call government. Government basically is a tool of statecraft, okay? Statecraft is based on subterfuge. Subterfuge is legal deceit, okay? Because the idea is that the people cannot govern themselves, therefore they need a quasi-legal entity to tell them how to be civilized. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So in a system like that, it doesn't, any governmental system like that does not breed free thought in a global sense, because what happens is if everybody was to be, let's say, sovereign and take care of their own responsibility, then there would be no need for anybody to pay taxes towards a government, you understand? Because everybody would be taking care of themselves. But see, in modern times, that type of system is called anarchy, okay? And the reason why they don't want people to govern themselves is because then you'd have a lot of people out of work. And you'd have a lot of people that have made gross amounts of money creating programs and mazes for people to operate through. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So the same political government, or the same type of, I should say, the same type of political government that created a feudal system during the times of the Crusades is basically the same type of government that you're dealing with now. The only difference is we live in what's called a modern era. So when you have words that can take one person from one time frame to another, you see what I'm saying? It makes the individual think that the times in between that are totally different, and they're really not. The only thing that's different now is that we have cars and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? But in the 1300s, they had toilets, running toilets, running water, lamp, gas-lit streets in Granada, you know, in parts of America as well. As well as in Cordoba, as well as in parts of Europe. And I say all that to say that based on how we're taught, though, you see what I'm saying? We're taught that at these times that I'm speaking of, that the people were basically, you know, were dependent on candlelight and, you know, they didn't really have any, let's say, major technology. But if that was the case, then how could you have technology now? Because everything evolves from something else. You
mm-hmm.
see what I'm saying? So we had things like hydraulics and aqueducts. And roads and railways and things like that. However, those things you don't see in history books. You don't see in National Geographic Channel and things like that unless you go to these places and see them. So essentially what I'm saying is that government is the thing that keeps human beings from working together, as funny as that means. And it's crazy because we are taught that that's what brings people together. You
mm-hmm.
see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I don't have no problem with nobody in Iraq. I don't have no problems with nobody in Afghanistan, right?
Right.
But, and they probably don't have no problems with me. But that doesn't mean that the United States government is not over there bombing the hell out of these people. You see what I'm saying? And using the money allegedly that I'm paying them, well, not me, but people are paying them in taxes, you know what I mean, to support this thing. But again, most people, most conquered people, and that's what we are, most conquered people, once they have been conquered, what happens is, this is a concept that came out of Rome, Roman government, is that once they would conquer a group of people, what they would do is they would absorb those people into the auxiliary army. And then what that did was it made the people who are now inducted into this Roman army now have to fight for Rome, because now if Rome falls, the society that they have now been absorbed into now falls. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of these things, are, like I said, are aspects of statecraft. You know, like you can have a constitution, like for a government, you can have a constitution, right? And that constitution says that we can't do this and you can't do that. It says that the government can't do this to the people, right? So how does the government get around that? What the government then does is that it creates what they call think tanks, in which they outsource a certain degree of they create what they call brain trust, And what they do is they outsource analysts to analyze the current governmental system and what they could do to upgrade and make it more efficient, right? When that happens, what the government then does is say, okay, well, this is how much it's going to take. Well, here, we're going to pay you to do this for us, you see? So now the government that cannot infringe on your liberties and your rights now has paid another outside company to do it for them, you see what I'm saying, in which now the government still can maintain itself because it is not violating its mandate, which is the Constitution that says that it can't come in and infringe on your liberties. So because it can't, what it will do is it will pay someone else to do it for them. This is what they've done with prisons right now. All prisons are basically outsourced private facilities. This is what
right.
they've done with schools, or the school, especially in New York right now. The school is now under the jurisdiction of the mayor. This has never happened.
And that's what they're doing in Detroit, too. They're doing it now. It hasn't got there, but it's on its way.
Oh, yeah, because what they're trying to do is consolidate what my grandma said. They're trying to put all their eggs in one basket.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're trying to create a situation in which everyone is afraid. The ritual that they used to do this was a 9/11 thing, and then that put – basically 9/11 made everybody in the world a citizen of New York. How did it do that? Because everybody was affected from that, whether you lived in New York or not, whether you heard of the World Trade Center or not, whether you saw the World Trade Center or not, you are now under the jurisdiction of the United States government based on what happened in 9/11. You understand? And again, that's government statecraft creating a way to perpetuate itself in a climate where nobody has faith in the government. See? Like, ask yourself, every black man, every black woman knows that the police kill black people. That's what they do. This is not all they do, but essentially that's what they do. Now, that doesn't mean that all people who become police officers are evil and want to kill black people, but what it does mean is that if you are joining an organization that's known for doing something that is in a negative realm, then that means that you are subject to anything that comes from that. So you have those people who say, oh, well, you know, what I'm going to do is, you know, I'm going to get in and I'm going to try to change it from the inside. You can't do that. Because if it could be done, it would have been done. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you cannot, that's like me trying to go into your house, right? And I don't live there, but I'm telling you where all your furniture need to be. You're not going to move that stuff because it's not my house. I don't live there. Thank you, Queen. Thank you. I don't live there. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
I'm now... But because I don't live there and I don't have the right to tell you how to live and how to have your things, if you don't allow me to do that, then what happens is if I'm a government, I'm going to force myself on you and I'm going to use the fact that you're resisting me as a means to say that you are an enemy of the state. You understand? So because we're dealing with a feudal crusader-type government, right, we are now... At the end, okay, let me rephrase it like this. Technically, we are in the second term of the Bush regime. Why is that? Because Bush was not lawfully elected by the people. You understand?
Right.
He was not elected lawfully. He stole the election. Everybody knew he stole it, but they still let him do it. Thank you, Queen.
Mm-hmm.
They still let him do it. It's a great class. And what happened in that now is that because he wasn't lawfully elected, but he was still actively in office, it let the government know that the people are lax and that the people are not going to do nothing about it. And it's not to say people didn't protest and do whatever, but if this was 1774, they revolted for way less, and they had
right.
way less. You understand what I'm saying? So here he is. We have more knowledge, more technology, more understanding, more historical value, more sense of ourselves, more individuality, yet we are the most confined based on the fear template that has been put on the world since the 9/11 event. But the 9/11 event was just a culmination of a bunch of different events that led to that. So if we go into history, right? There was a original man, some people call him an Indian, but he was a member of a native nation, and his name was Tecumseh. And he created, when Sherman came and they basically wiped out everybody and the wounded knee and all that, he put a curse on the presidency of the United States. And he said that any president that was elected on a 0 year would be assassinated, right?
Mm-hmm.
And every president that came in on a 0 year was assassinated, right? The only one that got away was Reagan. And that was because his wife Nancy, who was an astrologer,
right,
understood that on that day where his rising was, he had a positive aspect on his right side. So when he got out of the car, he usually used to get out the car on the left side. She said, get out the car on the right side. And when he got on the right side, that's when Hinckley shot him. But Hinckley was left-handed based on the programming that they put him in. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it deflected, and he was able to survive that, right? So that was the only one that got away. Bush got away because, again, he wasn't technically the president of the United States. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So the magic of the curse, or the magic of the intent that Tecumseh put on it, you see what I'm saying, didn't manifest because he didn't come in. But again, remember, he got elected, what, 2 terms, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when he came in the second term, technically those terms are basically one, because both of the terms were basically the same term in a sense, because the energy that he came in on was the same. Nobody wanted him president, yet he was. So what does that say to the people? It says to the people that it doesn't matter who you choose. It's who we choose and who you're going to, and you're just going to eat it. And that's what they did. So when Obama came, see, it's really ill with him because, okay, first thing, people don't know, he's a direct descendant from Jefferson Davis. Anybody?
Who's the direct? Obama?
Barack Hussein Obama.
Okay.
That is if we are going based on the assumption that the woman, Stanley Ann Dunham, is his real mother. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody really knows. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But let's take for granted that, okay, she is. If Stanley was his mother, she's a direct descendant through her grandfather and her maternal grandfather, people in them, all the way back to Jefferson Davis. Jefferson Davis was the first and only president of the Confederacy of the United States, of the Confederate States. Okay? Jefferson Davis, who was the president of the Confederate States, also had a lot of money in a bank, in the Bank of the Confederate States. I forget the name of it. I believe it was called the First Bank of the South, or the First Southern National Bank. That bank in our time is now known as the Bank of America.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So look at what we're saying. We're saying, one, Barack Hussein Obama is the direct descendant of a Confederate president, right? The first and only one. Barack Hussein Obama is the first so-called black president and the only black, so-called openly black president that, you know, we've had.
Mm-hmm.
There's a parallel in that. Another thing with that is that because Jefferson Davis had controlling interest in that bank, right, that in our time now is called the Bank of America, a lot of people don't realize that the reason why a lot of these banks fell out during the whole bailout stimulus thing was the fact that these banks were leftover Confederate banks that had a lot of slave money tied up in them, all of them, okay? And none of them were ever made to pay restitution on that. So when the Confederacy was basically just about to get into the war, Jefferson Davis sent a personal letter to the Queen of England, and she agreed that she would put up a certain amount of money to the Confederate States for their cause, but that money would have to be paid back with interest at the end or the close of the war. Why? Because Jefferson Davis was her great nephew. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
So all of the money, because you know when you find the money, you find the crook. All
right.
Of the money that was left over from them, when the South lost the war, all of that interest and that money doubled up on them. You see what I'm saying? And the North knew that. That's why the North went in and decimated the South. But there's a book that people could get called The Forgotten Cause of the Civil War by a guy named James R. Tinzard. And it gets into the real aspect of what the Civil War was really about and what the term Emancipation Proclamation really meant. Emancipate comes from the Latin term emancipato. And emancipato means to transfer ownership. It does not mean to free. Okay? So when the so-called original people or so-called black people were emancipated by President Lincoln, what happened was they were not freed because at the time they were not considered slaves the way we look at them today. They are. What happened was you had a transfer of ownership, whereas the slaves became the masters and the masters became the slaves. You understand? Mm-hmm. And then to hide all of this, well, there were a couple of things that happened before this. They had a thing called the War of 1812, in which Thomas Jefferson upped all the insurance on the Library of Congress. And when the Redcoats came and burnt down the temple for the Science of Law and Government, today that we now call the White House, right? When he burned that down, they burned down the Library of Congress too. So all the original records and all the original stuff that we used to have, all of the mandates and the land grants and you know what empire extended to where, you know what I'm saying? All of that stuff was burnt out. That's mm-hmm. what today we would call a fire sale. That's when you have. That's when you're trying to just get rid of everything, you know what I'm saying? Before the new people come in and take it over. And essentially, that's what they did, you know? Because really, like I said, government's main purpose is to control and to keep people in a certain box. So, like I said, because we are all, a lot of us are ignorant to the things, the real things that happened historically, we are at a loss when it comes to why the things are happening today. So technically when Obama gave Bank of America, which is one of the first banks after AIG to get the money, that was him paying back a Confederate debt that happened over, 250 years ago? That was mm-hmm. when the Civil War went down? So again, these are political debts that are still being paid because the debt is always in effect when you're dealing with European powers because that's the only way that they can control people, you understand?
Right.
So the stimulus and all of that stuff that went down, that stuff was just the smokescreen for everybody else who were not in the know. Everybody in the know knew that they was not going to tell the people where they gave this money and why they took it or whatever because all of that money is not going to the banks. The banks had to pay all of that money back to England based on the note that the Queen of England during the time of Jefferson Davis loaned them all of this money. And then when the North took over, they incurred the debt that the South owed to the Queen. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So all of that money still had to be paid back. But wait, that's not just that's the old money. The new money, though, was money left over that they had been laundering from the time of the Nixon administration, the Tricky Dick, but I would really say Carter. Because when mm-hmm. Carter came, they had a whole makeover for him. They made him, people still think he was a peanut farmer. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, come on, man. You think these people are going to let a peanut farmer become president of the United States Corporation? As much money that they got to pay out, they're not going to do that. They're not going to entrust it to anybody that is not of a certain bloodline, okay? This is just how they operate and maintain power. Why? Because money marry money. You know what I mean? You ever see the old romantic comedies where you have, like, the rich girl, and then she falls in love with, like, a porter or like, a waiter or something, and then mm-hmm. she wants to bring him back to the family, but she got to make him look like he got money in order for her to be accepted?
Right.
Those are what they call comedies of error. Those are things that are showing you how the upper echelon of this so-called society works because they're not going to let anybody in that's going to jeopardize them making more money, you understand? Because money is the ritual that keeps everything the way it is. Now, this is not to say, again, because, you know, people take things literal. This is not to say that, well, you know, just because you have money in your pocket, you're contributing to, you know, what's going on. But it's to say that just because you're not actively pursuing that doesn't necessarily mean that that is the outcome of the action. The money that we have in our pockets, the dollar bills, that's not real money. That's tendered, that's legal tender, which means that it's evidence of a debt that the United States Corporation owes, not the United States of America and General Congress assembled. See, that is the republic for which it stands, that we have already, that was founded from time immemorial. But way before Washington and any of those so-called Caucasian people ever got here, we was here. We had a stable government that was broken up into 13 zones. But because in history books, we only hear about the Constitution, we don't hear about the Articles of Confederation, we don't hear about the Articles of Association and who was running the country during that time. Because remember, if Washington was elected president, who elected him when they had no government, if they had no government at the time? If they declared their independence in 1776 and he wasn't declared president until 1791, who declared him president, number one, and who was running the government up until then?
And you never hear about, what's his name, John Hanson?
Yeah, and he's just like one. There was a lot of them, you know?
Okay.
He was one. There was another guy named Osiris Griffin Bay. There was another guy, Peyton Randolph Bay, who was related to Pascal Beverly Randolph through his father, Edmund Randolph, who was one of the scribes for the Continental Congress, who had married a princess of Madagascar, because Madagascar was a big Moorish port, or what they call pirate port, where a lot of so-called people would get together and build on the empire. Because we as original people had a global empire one time, and I say this a lot, but the reason why, because a lot of us, because we've been beat down by, like, Roots, you know, and Kaffir Boy and all of these, and, you know, Color Purple and all of these movies and stuff, and they got a new one out now called Precious, you know. The idea is to always make us look like, one, we have no history, culture, knowledge of ourselves. Two, that we're always depending upon someone else. And three, that we cannot govern ourselves. You know?
Yeah, I had a family member that went and looked at Precious yesterday, and they walked out. They say they couldn't sit there and watch it.
Yeah, because the guy who did that is the same guy who did Monsters Ball. Mm. And you know, Monsters Ball, that was basically Halle Berry giving it up to a straight Nazi.
Right.
Billy Bob Thornton is a Nazi. See what I'm saying? This is just how they do. But what makes it worse, see, what they do, though, is they always get a brother to co-sign it. The guy that did it, the director, is a black man. See what I'm saying? Because remember, the idea is to always make us look like animals, always make us look like we're deficient, always make us look like we because our skin is dark, right, that it in some way affects our intelligence, you see? This is why when you have brothers who can actually, and sisters that articulate, when they talk about Obama, what's the first thing they say? Oh, he's so articulate, right? He's so well spoken, right? That's what that's the racist thing for black people. That's what they say.
Right.
I've heard that all my life. I had a high school guidance counselor tell me that I was not socially fit to adapt to a high school setting. Why did he tell me that? Because I cut class once. You know what I'm saying? But the white kids that was in the class with me, they had one kid who never went to class. See what I'm saying? But I'm the one who's not socially fit to deal with it. Why? Because there's a vested interest in miseducating black people specifically and everybody else. You see what I'm saying? And that's just how it's been.
So are we dealing with the class thing, the different classes of people, the money, the have and the have not?
Well, essentially, yes. We're dealing with that. It's always that whenever you're dealing with the so-called elite. But what we're really dealing with, well, what you're seeing right now is the total decimation of the middle class. They are wiping the middle class out because the middle class is comprised of upwardly mobile Caucasian people, right, and upwardly mobile black people. You see what I'm saying? You have what they have. They used to have, let's say, upper middle class and lower middle class, right?
Mm-hmm.
The middle class was the equal, is the basis of the U.S. economy. So when you phase out the middle class, you see what I'm saying? Well, first of all, classism itself is a problem. But that's a whole other story. Let's just deal with where we're at. Because we have a classist society, right, that means that you have the lower, the middle, and the upper. So in that, just like you have a lower, middle, upper, that also represents past, present, future, right? It also represents good, bad, indifferent. You see what I'm saying? I'm laying it out like this because I'm showing you how these think tanks look at something. These people don't just look at one thing and say, okay, now that this is going on, we can do this. No, they sit back and they say, okay, if we do this, how many other things can we affect through this? See what I'm saying? So like 9/11. Okay, everybody's scared. Terrorists are destroying the world. We made everybody believe that this guy in a cave can get NORAD to stand down. You know what I'm saying? They believe that this dude in a cave all the way in Afghanistan has the ability to get on a phone and tell NORAD, the North Atlantic, what is that? North Atlantic, it's the thing that they use, the governmental agency that basically monitors the skies and international borders and everything to make sure no planes and nothing can fly in this
place.
You tell me that these people can do that? Living in a cave? Come on, man. But anyway, people believe it. So because they believe it, they say, okay, well, great. We got them to believe this. Now we can drop the Patriot Act on them. See what I'm saying? Then from the Patriot Act, we can then evolve it into the Patriot Act 2, right? Then we can take it to the next level and create the NSA document 10198, which basically gives them the authority to extend the wiretapping thing to every computer in the world, right? To every computer in the world. This is what I mean about them making everybody else a New Yorker. It's horrible. Mm. Because now what this means is if you – okay, this is another thing they bring it down a pike, right? You hear people talk about this thing called the North American Union.
Right.
Right? This is where they're trying to annex Canada, United States, and Mexico into one hemisphere-wide country that has a superhighway that runs from La Venta, Mexico, all the way up through Texas, all the way through the Midwest, all the way up into Upper Canada. Then the idea is to they've already done it. They secede all of the land over to the UN in between those places. So in the Midwest and all that, they basically gave the UN a mandate to look over the land for them, which means now the United States doesn't own its national parks. You understand? Which means now that the parks, that also means by law that means that the Parks Department is now under the jurisdiction of the United Nations, which means your national parks, Yellowstone and all of that, is now owned by a foreign country, which means now if they want to get everybody out of there, which is what they need to do to create this highway thing, right, what they got to do is they got to find a way to get those people out. So what do? We use a cover story, national disaster, California wildfires, flooding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hurricane this, hurricane that, right? Now, I don't know about you, but when I was coming up and I was learning about hurricanes and tornadoes and stuff, when I read my textbooks, it said that when a hurricane or a typhoon or something like that, unless it's a twister, and that's something different, a hurricane or something can only come along the coast. Once it hits the land, it's supposed to dissipate, right?
Right.
That's what science say, but that's not what CNN is saying. CNN is saying, you know, a hurricane could come on land and just destroy everything. That's not no natural hurricane. You see what I'm saying? So, again, I'm bringing up all of these things because I'm showing you how one thing can affect so many other things that come from that. But because we usually only focus on what's in front of our face because we don't want to piss nobody off, we don't want to, you know, say anything, we all want to be politically correct, right? We don't want to appear racist or anything else. What happens is that inhibits it. Like me personally, if a person is a racist, I would rather them let me know from the door because then I could be cool with you. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between a redneck, right, let's say a redneck cracker is what they would say, like from the old South, you know, the Bayou, Mississippi, a thing like that. That's the difference between one of them and one of the people on Wall Street or something. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, the Wall Street dudes, they doing all types of satanic rituals and stuff like that in the upper echelons of the rooms and all of that stuff, and they have black men working for them and things like that, and these black men really think that they're moving up when really they're moving up with a glass ceiling. Now, this is not to say that race, again, is the impetus for everything. However, it's a good measuring stick, right, for them to implement whatever they want, because the idea, the only way you can really control people is to make them think that somebody else is trying to come in and do something to them, right? So what did they do in the early 1900s when they came out with Birth of a Nation? That was the movie that first made the Ku Klux Klan a global thing. They came out, and they didn't even use black people in that movie. They got a bunch of white boys and painted them black, okay, and lynched them and stuff on the thing. And MGM, I believe it was, put that movie out. This is when movies first went into like major syndication. So this thing comes out, and within a month, the average I read was that within like the first 2 months, over 2 million people had seen that. But remember, at the time that this is going on, everything is segregated. So the only people that's going to the movies to see that is Caucasian people. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I remember when Roots came on TV in 74, I believe it was. No. I think
it was,
around
that time somewhere.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think when I saw it. I saw it when I was like maybe, I was very young. I was like maybe, I was anywhere between like 5 and 10
mm-hmm.
when I first saw it. Yeah.
It was around 73,
you remember?
74.
Okay.
Up in
there. So everybody remember. Now, up until then, when I was a little kid, I would see, okay, this person is a lighter skin, but I didn't know anything about race up until I saw that movie. When I saw that movie and went to school the next day, the kids in my school, we was looking for white boys to go after. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, I've been mentally conditioned to look at these people as now my mortal enemy because I'm watching them do crazy stuff. Stuff that, as I'm a man now and look over as it happened, it couldn't have happened the way that they depicted to me. Why? Because at the time that this was going down, at the height of what they call, when they say it happened, because these people are saying that slavery, that they was having slaves over here, you know, in the 15, black slaves, I should say, in you know, 1500s. But how can that be? Right, it had to be a lot later, but how could that be when they thought the world was flat? They was dying of the bubonic plague, right, from not cooking and preparing their food properly. That's what I'm trying to say. So again, if that's not true, and I'm not saying that slavery didn't happen, I'm saying that the way that they've depicted it, there's a hook in that bait. There's something else going on with it. Because, again, there's a spiritual aspect to all of this, because the slavery thing has a double-edged sword. You have the whole slave mentality of, okay, I'm a slave, I can't get no higher than that. And then you have the people who emancipate themselves, right, transfer their ownership to themselves maybe or somebody else, and then say, okay, well, based on this, I can't do this. Based on me being a slave, see what I'm saying, this is why I can't have such and such and such. It's a self-imposed slavery, see?
Right.
But Oscar Wilde said, the best slaves are the ones that don't know that they're that. You know what I'm saying? So I would go one better. A better slave is one who depends on someone else to give them knowledge of themselves. You understand? And that's what most Americans are doing right now. They are allowing people to grossly miseducate their children on purpose. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. And like I had a guest on, and that's what he was saying. He was like, the education system do not educate, it trains us.
Yes, because it's training you how to be a good slave. When you go to school, they wasn't teaching me how to open a business, but I'll go to school and learn how to get a job. You see what I'm saying? But according to the Bible, a job is a sin. Job and Job is the same word. And Job got all of that thrown on him, those people who know the Bible, all of that stuff got thrown on him because the devil made God a bet. And I'm just using this euphemism as an example of what I'm saying. He said, if you give this person is so devout and loves you so much, but if you throw all of this stuff on their shoulders, I bet you they'll curse you. God said, word, okay, great. And he did it. And he made Job, who was a king, have to go get a job and go to work and become a slave in the field and everything else. Who that sound like? That's us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's us. They have turned the powers that be, and there's very few of them, they have turned the entire planet into a slave colony. And I mean, everybody's a slave on it. From the bees, right? From the bees to the birds, to the dogs, to the cats, to the humans, to the trees, to the dirt, to the water. Doesn't matter. Yeah. However, they have a vested interest in keeping, like, for instance, what we're saying with the darker, why they like to go after darker skinned people like that. This government, the United States, I'm not talking about the United States of America, it's two different things. The United States Corporation, that was incorporated after the War of 1812, and the corporation is still intact in Lloyd's Bank in London. Anybody can go check it out. It was initially founded in 1666 under the name the Virginia Tobacco Company. That's the original name of the United States Corporation. And it's still listed as that, as a subsidiary in Lloyd's Bank of London when they incorporated it. But the way that they incorporated it was they had to, okay, America from Alaska to what we call Chile at one time, pre-colonial times now I'm talking, was broken up into 13 different zones. And those 13 different zones each had its own dominion, kingdom, empire attached to it and had kin folk that was connected to them, relatives that were connected through what we now call Europe, as well as for Africa. Because remember, it was a global empire that at the time was being run by darker-skinned people. And the so-called people who call themselves Caucasian, right? Or I don't even say that. People who call themselves white, right? Which, you know, makes no sense either. But those people were being enslaved in mass at the time, okay? There's a lot of books you could get on this.
Now you're saying the coming collapse of this present government. When is that collapse coming and how is it coming?
Well, I'm leading up to that.
Okay.
Because how it's collapsing is based on this fact, is that when this government initially was founded or was transferred over to the person that they called George Washington, or in who history calls him Washington, when they handed it over, or when we handed it over to them, the idea basically was because that we were having a political infight with each other, right? And we were split down the line. You had those so-called black or Moors or Africans or whatever you want to call them, those darker-skinned melanated people who had this global empire, they began to war with each other over enslaving Caucasians, okay, in mass, because we would take them from – the word slave comes from the word to Slav, and Slav means to serve, and to Slav is another where you get the word Slovenia, Slovakia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right, I don't know no black people in Slovenia, Slovakia, so I don't know how we are the ones who have this, you know, European term. But again, this is how history and government works. Once we decided, or half of us decided that we didn't want to participate in that anymore, those older, I call them Moors, began to infight with each other. And when that happened, the Moors that were fighting for their own independence, they began to take the Caucasoid slaves and convert them to Islam. Not the religion, but the political ideology, right, that was now becoming a dominant, or now was starting to wane on the planet. We're talking between 1492 and 1791. Okay. So as this thing began to happen, when those Moors began to war with each other, they began to not speak to one another. So if I had a cousin, that's like me warring with my cousin in London. So me and him would have this business, but then when me and him get into an argument, we wouldn't work with each other anymore. And then I would just lose contact with him. You see what I'm saying? So while I'm not dealing with him, I'm bringing this Caucasoid person who used to be my slave up in my house because he is fighting on my behalf against my cousin, you see what I'm saying, for his freedom. So once he frees himself or he fights with me against my cousin and me and him win, then it is my now job to free him and accept him into my house. This is where you get the term free and accepted Mason from, or freed Mason from. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then once this happens now, they now come into the family, and then now they get to be like John Smith marrying Pocahontas. Because our custom is that the royalty or the nobility passes through the female. So if the female gets married off to this guy, Joseph Smith, who used to be a brigand, or what they would call a laggard, right, he now moves up in status, which means now he can take that land and do what he wants to with it. And what did he do, John Smith? He took her to England, they killed her in England, and then he came back with a whole bunch of soldiers, and they took over New England. So imagine that on a global level. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So now globally, now there's this bond now between the so-called Black Masons, right, and the so-called Sons of Liberty, who eventually became, well, they started as the Sons of St. Tammany, and then they became the Sons of Liberty, and then they became the Sons of the Revolution. And then they had another female auxiliary called the Daughters of the Revolution. And they created what they call the Dar Manual. Again, all of these are different aspects of how the government came to its being and how and why it's being phased out. Because you can't conquer a people and allow them to keep what made them great. So in order for them to make us believe that we have no stake in this world, I should say, then what they have to do is take your history totally from you and make you think that you're not a part of anything. So what they did was they created in the Belden Conference of 1888 all of the European powers who were descendant from those Caucasoid slaves who had got freed through the masonry thing and then took over from the so-called Black Masons, right, who are now being redesignated as African slaves and everything else. In order for them to not give it back, what they decided to do was they created an organization called the African Heritage Foundation in Belgium, England. And that was, Belgium, in Europe. And they created that organization to repaint the image of darker-skinned people worldwide. Why? Because up until that point, I could look at a Dravidian person from India. I could look at a dark African person from, you know, Africa. I could look at a native dark person here from America, and 10 is the one we all kin somehow, right? Or we all could kind of relate in some form or fashion. So what they decided to do was create a new image of a black man in which black people only come from Africa, okay? So that means now after that, if I'm this now the education system after that now creates a system in which now I believe that all black people come from Africa. So that means if I see somebody that's just as dark as me, right, in Jamaica or in Haiti or in India or in China or in Japan, I won't think that person is related to me at all. Or I don't think that we have no similarity at all. Why? Because he's not an African. And what that also did by proxy is it made all Caucasian people believe that they all come from Europe. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So again, what? When you create when you create the term white supremacy, you then create, by proxy, the opposite of that, which is black supremacy. You see what I'm saying?
Well, Dr. Asir, I want to go to the lines so the people can ask you some questions. But before I go to the lines, can you tell the people about your class that you're going to be giving in December?
Yes, ma'am. I'm doing an online webinar / class called Dark Plasma Synthesis, and you can log on to www.asir, thedukeoftears.com to register. And what we'll be talking about is basically like a 13-week course. And my purpose is to help people understand how things got the way that they are, because nobody's telling us the truth about any of this stuff. And when they flip it on everybody, everybody's going to be scrambling. So the best thing to start doing is starting to prepare yourself now, you know. So these classes are dealing with the magic, history, law, and the financial aspects of the material existence that we're all sharing right now, and what we can do to help us, you know, magically, spiritually, you know, financially, and also to create almost like a community of concerned people, regardless of the race. You know what I'm saying? I just happen to speak from the perspective of an original man. You understand what I'm saying? So because the research and things that I've done so hard for the past 16, 17 years has been to not only show and prove and to be right, but be correct in the things that I'm saying, not only historically about how things got that way and financially, but as well as spiritually, because you can read all the books you want to read and know all the history you want to read. If you don't put the Creator in it, you're done. You know what I mean? And we live in a society in which there is no God. The God here of Americans is money, and that's what it is. So this is why things are the way that they are, because we have chosen to become equal with someone that we were never really equal to. And when I say that, I mean Caucasian people too. See what I'm saying? Because the government, in the end, they don't even give a damn about the Caucasian people in it, depending on your rank. Because they follow a reptilian form of government, and there's therefore only one person can rule, and everybody else is a slave until that person moves up and they kill him or whatever they do, and they move to the next. So I say that with the financial thing, all of the things that I spoke about up to this point are leading to this financial collapse, and the collapse already happened. So we are now, they just waiting to spring it on you. You know what I'm saying? It already
happened.
So the
collapse happened with the bank?
The real collapse, it started with the bank, but the real collapse happened the day that Michael Jackson died, which is why they outed him.
That was the
morning that Michael Jackson died, the Chinese government, thank you, Queen, the Chinese government called in the note on $1.2 trillion that the United States government owes it. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because during the Carter administration, from the Carter administration to the last Bush administration, they had been laundering so much drug money, you understand, through Afghanistan, through Iran, through Iraq, through all of that stuff, that they pilfered so much of that drug money that they began to start using legal money as a means to wash the drug money. So when you remember a couple of years ago before he gave out the stimulus checks, they were talking about the $1.2 trillion deficit. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know where it came from. Well, what they're now telling you is that that money is tied up in the drug money that they had been laundering from the time of you should say, Vietnam. Okay? It really goes all the way, like I said, back to the Civil War. But in our history, if we're going, you know, to not bust anybody's brain cell, it really started then. So the morning that Michael Jackson, you know, met his maker, the Chinese government called in the note. And from that day to now, every month, the United States has to pay China $500 million a month. So by January, whatever money is left, they're going to have to outsource and borrow more money to pay back the money for China. Why do they owe China this money? Because during the Bush administration, the little Bush, during that administration, they created a thing called the Kyoto Accord. And one of the provisions in the Kyoto Treaty and the Kyoto Accord was that in the matter of civil unrest in the United States, that the Chinese government would be outsourced to come in here and lock us down. And the United States had to start paying them all of this money to do that. So the United States, no, excuse me, China gave the United States a bunch of money for the contract to come over here as a lethal police force to come over here and lock down everybody, because all our forces is over there fighting whatever war they got them fighting.
Mm-hmm.
But what the United States did, what Bush and him did, was they took the money that China gave them to come over here and lock us down and then use that money to go and invade China. You know?
Well, they paid them with their own money.
They paid them with their own money, and then use some of that money to go in there during the Olympics and pop that off. That's why the same day the Olympics started, Russia invaded Georgia, because Georgia was set up by the United States under the same deal under Bush back in the days, because Georgia was going to be a beachfront for the United States to go and invade Russia, because that's really who Obama and them is really trying to go after. The real fight in Africa is not between the Africans. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the Chinese, like the Somalian pirates. You know why the Somalian pirates is hijacking ships? Because...
Go ahead.
They hijacking ships because during the time that the United States made that movie Black Hawk Down, which was about them invading Somalia, right?
Yeah.
The United States went in there and invaded Somalia, destroyed the government. And then because there was no government there, the European governments would take their nuclear waste and dump it in the shores all over Somalia. And the Somalian fishermen got gats and went out there and started getting their money and started using the money, started trying to take some of the money and go back to other more industrialized African nations like the Central African Republic and get them to help them get rid of the nuclear waste. But I don't hear that on CNN. All I see on CNN, they're giving awards for killing these men. But again, this is government we're talking about. You know what I'm saying? So the collapse of the United States government is basically the segue into what they want, which is basically a global situation in which they could tell everybody what to do. But it's not going to work. You know, they were supposed to have this thing hooked up since, you know, 1918. They're not going to be able to do it the way they think. However, the more people that they get inducted into believing what Fox News says, what CNN says, what, you know, their neighborhood preacher says or whatever, without doing their own research, without going to their own God and looking within themselves for the truth, see what I'm saying? They're going to take it all lock, stock, and barrel.
Yeah, that's the propaganda machine, I'm going to open up the lines here and let the people ask you some questions or make comments. Area code, let's see, area code 313-345. Do you have a question or comment? Okay. Area code, let me see. Area code 313-567. Do you have a question or comment? Okay, they listening.
Yeah, the one directly in the corner, right?
Okay, area code 313-259. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. I'd like to know, recently when President Obama went over to China, I heard him, and I see the Caucasoids are quite upset about that. Yeah, he should not have did this. But I think that the brother knows what he's doing. Anyway, I saw him in his speech, and he was sort of explaining why he went to China. And he said because of to make trade so that the United States can take their exports over to China, as China is doing here. The other thing is, do you think spiritually that the President Obama, he know what he's doing, and it's just that because we're the public, it's all of a suspicious, and I think this is it, but we really don't know what is going on up there in that government. Even the Congress doesn't know.
Yeah, because again, thank you for calling in, Queen, and thank you for the insight, and it's very real. The first reason he went to China was really as a means of supplication. Because see, what we don't understand is that this guy has even less power than Bush had. You know what I'm saying? Spiritually, what he is and what he represents to us is us reaching the level of godhood again, in which we'll be able to be together and be able to actually govern ourselves and reach that celestial level, right?
Okay.
But materially, he is the product or culmination. You know what he's like? He's like a living peace treaty between the different factions that have been vying for control of this planet for the past 200 years. So he can only do what he's been kind of mandated to do. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the mandates that he has is not to do anything for anybody like us.
Right. Okay.
The only reason why he got in there was because he wouldn't do anything for us. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But what he did do for us is make us feel good. And we as black people, that's all most of us want anyway, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
We don't really need new substance. So because we don't ask for it or don't demand it, you know,
mm-hmm.
what my grandmother said, she said, give a man what his hand called for. So essentially, he has no power.
Mm-hmm.
The second question was that nobody is really running the government right now. You hear a lot of scholars and a lot of different people come up with the thing, well, the Rothschilds and the this people. And I don't even really like using the term Illuminati because it's not specific enough. It doesn't get to exactly who your enemy is. And it gives this, and it's almost like a veil word that they just put a bunch of, that they could just lump a different, it's like a boogeyman that everybody would just, oh, the Illuminati, when really they all want to be down with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, essentially, he's doing exactly what he has to do. So him going to China was also him letting them know that they don't really have enough money to pay the $500, the $500 million a month that they've had to pay. So now they've fallen into default. Once they fall into default, what happens now is that China has the right to accrue and demand payment. If China calls in a note for all of the thing, that means Saudi Arabia's going to call in a note, Europe's going to call in a note, everybody's going to call in a note, United States is bankrupt. So then what happens is the United States goes into foreclosure, right, or receivership, or let's say Chapter 11, in which now they have to create an interim government. So what you're going to hear them start talking about pretty soon, you're going to start hearing them talking about a climate debt. When you hear them use the term climate debt, get ready, because that's the debt that they allegedly are now, that the European nations are agreeing, fostered by the United States. They are now putting out here that what they need to do is pay back the third world nations for the carbon emissions that have been going on. This is why they need the carbon tax to pay down this debt. Once the United States signs on to this, what's going to happen, unfortunately, is that, wow, just talking about it is bugging me out. What they're going to do when they call in a note, that means that all of the 200 nations that are part of the United Nations now, right, they all are now going to be the nations that have to receive money from the United States for the United States and of the European powers poisoning the world with the Industrial Revolution. You understand? Once that happens, right, the United States now has to pay this money regardless to who or what. But remember, the United States don't even exist. It's a corporation. Which means that the people of the United States now have to pay this money in the form of a carbon tax. Now, remember, melanin, the basis of melanin is what?
Carbon.
Exactly. So who's going to be paying most of the tax?
Us.
Exactly. Why? Because we got most of the melanin, right? But see, they word it in a different way and make you think that they're talking about something else. That's why you have to understand, when your president is talking to you, he's talking to you Masonically. He's not talking to you as a person.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
These people are not talking to you even as human. They're talking to you the way that you would talk to a dog. You know how you have a dog or a cat that you take care of and you do what you need to do for? That's how they look at you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a damn how black he is, how black his wife is, how black his children are. This is what's going on. So when that happens now, the United States gets broken up into two districts, the Eastern District and the Western District, in which now all of the people have to be removed to the coastal areas in what they call smart cities, in which they can monitor everybody's carbon emission. So the same people who destroyed the environment through the Industrial Revolution and now the same people who are behind the so-called green movement get fitting you to build with it. Okay. So the green movement is really just another, really also what happened was that a bunch of communists, okay, a bunch of communists came in and infused themselves into the environmentalist movement. and then basically created a lobby situation where they could move up through the ranks of the political echelon, and then what they do is that they foster the communist agenda by using the green movement as the subterfuge. Remember I was telling you about that? Remember we was talking about that earlier? How
yeah.
One concept to couch a whole nother concept and make people think they're talking about one thing and they're talking about something totally different.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Well, thank you, caller.
Thank you, Queen.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to go to another call here. Let's see. 919, do you have a question or comment? Area code 919. Okay. Okay, area code 313926. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I got one.
Go ahead.
Maybe I took it wrong. Maybe I took it wrong, but I'm going on. What I'm asking is, the good doctor is, I noticed that he keep on saying that how the black people is like cattle. In other words, like how the black people haven't achieved. But from my point of view, as since us being, what are we, 13% of the populations? And I'm going, every race done put us down. But we are doctors, lawyers, presidents. And I'm going, everybody and their mama, excuse my language,
mm-hmm.
everybody and their mama act like the black man. The black man, though they don't even want the black man to be the black man, but
that's
the
right.
black man has no choice to be himself because he's an authentic one. So my point is this, as me being a black man in India, I'm going, my point of view is this. I'm from the east side of Detroit, and I'm going, I swear, I feel like we the ultimate thing on the planet. No offense
yeah.
to the rest, but since us, they kidnapped us, so we are the lost tribe. And
yeah.
I'm going, we the baddest thing on the planet. Even some of the Africans don't
yeah.
like us, and we got love for them. And I'm going, when something in trouble, Michigan and all the other black people on the planet, we try to help when we don't have. So everybody put us down, but guess what? We are our own Superman. The only thing that picked us up is us. So
that's
I'm right. Regardless what the situation is,
you see
we that special stuff. When you have it, it's special. And when you don't, they let you take your shit. But you like to organize it, and I'm going, we can get it together. But everybody put us down. But guess what? Everybody and their mama trying to act like us. But they don't want the black man to speak up. But when the other one speak up, he has something to say. When the woman speak up, it's okay. Even the children got right. But the black man, if he make a mistake, look at Denzel in Hollywood. That man can't make a mistake. What's her name? Show her coochie. And Janet Jackson made a mistake and showed her breast by somebody else pulling it off, and they canceled her show. We living in a society that is twisted, but guess what? People are getting older now. People tired of the color. People tired of the attitudes. And people want it done right. But guess who's catching on the worst of the worst of the worst? The black man. But
why?
We still the baddest thing on the
why
planet.
Because
even
why?
Though we 30%.
You know why? Because
right.
if
what?
He get himself together,
uh-huh.
the day that we get our shit together,
right.
it's a wrap. Everybody else got.
Say that again. Say that again.
See, they can sit on the throne as long as they want. The minute that you
uh-huh.
go and you say, look, you got to get up, that's my seat, then what happens is we now have to be responsible.
No. They got that seat. They got that seat. We got our own seat. We the
my
planet
is
ours.
Sitting in is ours. That's what I'm saying.
Thank you. Okay,
that's
I just wanted to make sure because, we on the right
that's
page because I'm like, I understood you and I liked everything, but I was like, everybody put us down, but that's what makes us so strong. The black woman is the ultimate, and they had us.
Yes.
We know where we came from. We came from the black woman.
Yeah, but what are they
woman,
doing with her now? But what are they doing with her now? They're trying to
destroy her.
They're trying to
right.
pair you with somebody else. This is what I'm trying to say.
Right,
what I'm trying
right.
to say, everything that you're saying is correct. I agree with
right.
you.
You say it's correct. I just was like, everybody dog us, but guess what? Everybody and their mama want to act like us.
They do. But again,
you hear me what
everybody
I'm saying?
You have but us. You heard what I'm saying? You hear me? Everybody
yeah,
here, yeah, but us. Who,
right.
You know what the number one killer, I was just talking to my neighbor about this, the number one killer in the research that I did of original people in India, in China, And in and in Africa right now, you know what it is?
What?
Bleaching cream.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I went to Brazil. It broke my heart.
Listen
to
what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. It's killing more people than famine. It's killing more people than the wars. It's killing more people than the dysentery that's out there. It's killing more people than anything. Because
that goes your next show right there. You're right.
But what you're witnessing, but see what I'm saying, is deeper than just trying to be white. That's what it is on the surface. Okay.
That's sad though. Because
what it is on the surface. That's
the white people is trying to be black.
That's my point.
Hold up. The thing is, when they go Bundy jumping. They got that from Africa.
Exactly.
All right, then. We used to eat the meat. They eat the meat. Now they don't eat the meat. Like you said, they going green. Where are we from?
But listen,
Africa,
but this
from
is my
Amazon,
point.
From the pyramids, right?
But that's my point. My point is that everybody is taught to be something other than what they are. The Jewish people have a term called goyim, right? And a goyim basically is another way of saying like human cattle. And in the old Khazarian, that's what it means. It may not mean that now, but that's what it means. But in the Khazarian language in which it originated from, it means cattle.
True that?
Yeah. And yes, that's what I'm saying. Yiddish, again, is a Khazarian dialect, and the Khazarians learned their dialect from the Moors from Alhambra, who went over to the Caucasus Mountains and got there converted them to Judaism. So the powers that be, the Rothschilds and these people that's running it now, when they use the term goyim, they're using it in the term of cattle. That's how they are talking about it from the old Khazarian.
But the big problem is? Why everybody's trying to put it on color and stuff, and you hit it on the nose, it's fear. Everybody's scared to relax and give someone else trust. And everybody feels like they're supposed to control, and we're killing all of us. We're killing everybody. And why everybody's thinking like, it's like, I hope no one is taking wrong when I meant that. Like the black people, is it? It's just that we have to motivate ourselves because everything attack us, and we have to be on top. We make a mistake, they'll throw us with a white guy go to jail, he'll do a year. We go to jail, we do life, but then we don't even get sorry or apologize or paid on that. And we have to stay stable, but we catching it. Everywhere we go, the black men, if we don't have money, literally, they stand there, we can't run our household, that we not a man. And that's not a lot. That's a lie.
Well, again, brother, you preaching to the choir, man. I'm with you.
Okay, I'm with you too.
We to the point where, you know, we either gotta, you know, do it.
Right.
We either gotta put
the
condom on, right? Go in, or say we're not gonna do it at all because.
Oh, look, just stay along. Just stay like this. Stay like cows.
Yes, and in the end, what it really comes down to is how many of us, black, white, whatever, are really ready to get out of this mundane reality? How many of us want to do that more than we want to go to the Jay-Z concert?
Answer me this one then, because you're going to get your homework, and this is what I feel spiritually.
Yes,
I'm going, here I go. I feel like, okay then, that we so busy talking about the injustice that society and whiteies and anything else done did to us. But I believe in history that we done did our injustice, and this is somewhat of a payback. And I'm going, we need to unite and stop pointing the fingers, because I'm going, see, right now, like you said, they're knocking out the middle class, and they made one mistake. We all could talk to each other with this Internet, and I'm going, we need to stop the prejudice and make sure everybody can eat and have a roof over their head and survive and be educated. And when we get on that page, all of it will be right.
Well, I agree. However, the problem with that right now, we got too many snitches in the hood, man. Everybody is snitching. Everybody is down with the government. It's to the point where the CIA is advertising on
TV. They're scared.
But you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying that the CIA is advertising recruitment on TV. This is how bad the society has gotten now. You understand what I'm saying? It's to the point now where the government right now, quiet as it's kept, is at war with its own computers.
Remember the
Y2K thing was really about the computer getting so much data that it achieved its own consciousness. And then it began to blackmail. Hold up. It's blackmailing the same government, saying that if you don't do such and such of this, you know what I'm saying, if you don't find a way to get me out the mainframe, I'm going to crash your whole system. So what do they do? They come up with biochips. They don't just want to give you chips just because they want to just – they don't have enough control. You have to understand everything in the universe, right?
That's right.
Is coming to destroy this thing that we call materialism. Mm-hmm. Everything that is worth something, right,
yes,
that can be grown, that can come from a seed and grow into a tree or whatever, all of the souls and all of the energy that is attached to those things is crying out
that,
this thing to stop.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh,
trust. This is deep. And the reason why, again, we get into what's happening, what we talk about as original people, we talk about black people in that, is because when this thing popped off, right, when we talk about physical reality, if we go on by even what, okay, let's go by what Smithsonian said. If the first people came out of Africa, right,
mm-hmm,
and that means that the original woman, the original man, were the first people on the planet, right,
right,
and that everybody else came out of them, right,
mm-hmm,
and now they are at the bottom of reality, right, and then everybody else is above them. Right. That means that every culture that came out of that, right, when we
began to go
in decline, right, they mm-hmm began to take what we did and they expounded on it and then basically blossomed it into whatever culture now. So when you hear the term Spanish, you don't think about black people. But people mm-hmm don't know that up until 1526 that the word Spanish got replaced from the word Moorish. Because Charles I, got in and said, look, we're going to need to destroy the nationality, the global nationality of these people if we are to succeed. This is what he said. We can go on.
It was Lynch, a law before Lynch was even around. They done repeated
this. This is way before him. So again, what I'm talking about is a specific agenda to keep people that happen to be darker and melanated totally mm-hmm miseducated of their role in human society. So if it's really equal, stop making me feel like just because I'm dark.
I gotta try harder. There you go. But there you go.
If it's like that, then stop making it to be that if I get a car, I know I'm gonna get stopped. Stop trying to get police to kill me. Stop creating situations in which whenever I turn on a TV, I don't see two black people.
Stop analyzing me when I eat and talk.
Stop analyzing me. Stop looking at me as an anomaly because I know how to articulate myself.
There you go. I'm with you, baby. There you go.
This is how you create a level and
a positive point of view. Right.
But people don't. But government is not going to do that because the government that we have is.
Well, this is where we come in at. We got to make it different. We need to go to the doggone White House and we need to get into the government.
Yeah, but listen to that. That's not going to happen because now that Obama's in there, race is not an issue no more. Remember, black people.
Oh no, but you don't get it. But look at the time they put them in there.
Hey, but
so
yeah,
the all of us need to rush up in there now.
people don't even realize that the day that Obama declared his presidency was the same day that Michael Richard did the whole nigger thing in that club in L.A.
Hold up. Nigger.
Yeah, that was the same day that he declared his presidency.
Right.
And he declared his presidency in the same park, Springfield Park, that Lincoln declared his presidency.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? There's a synchronicity in how these people operate, and when you know how and how they communicate with each other and to us, we can totally break up their
system. Let me say this. You know the guy, I forgot his name, and Beverly butt in anytime you wanna. The one that stole all the people's money. All he did was went back in the history and repeated it. It worked then. He figured why it worked don't work now.
And even look at him, brother. Look at him.
Right.
People in America think that this one Jewish guy, right, can totally disseminate the economies of the world. Right? Now, since we're speaking of racism, right? Because, you know, the race, you know, every ethnic group or so-called ethnic group got their own thing. So they say, okay, we want people to hate Jewish people, right? So we're going to make it seem like this Jewish guy is the one who destroyed everybody's money, and we're going to make it so that way his wife get to keep it. What do you think that that's like the rumor that they had after 9/11 that no Jewish people died in the World Trade Center, that they all got a call? And that, come on, man. They don't work like that.
Well, there's a lot, but we got people who less knowledgeable, so that's what happened in society.
Well, but what I'm trying to say is that everything in this country works based on marketing. If you hear it, if the lie is told long enough, you believe it. If you see another thing too is what they do is that they make each individual black man and black woman responsible for the race. So if one black man is doing something, you see what I'm saying? That means all of us is doing it. But where did they get that concept from? That concept came from Kemet, because when you look at the walls in Karnak, right, it says that I am my father and my father is me, and therefore I am the father, the father's the son, the father from the father's the son, we all have begun. So it's to say that one leads to the other, leads to the other. But again, in this society, because we have been trained that we are all so-called racial enemies of each other.
Program. I got you. Program.
We are all under the same whip. But the problem is, right, some people can wear a coat, right, over their back, you know what I mean, to brace for the blow, and some people can't afford a coat.
There you go.
So let's get to the
point. Some people get it, but don't.
Go ahead, Queen. I'm sorry.
Okay, I was just wanting to go to the next call. I wanted to thank you for
the call.
Thanks a lot,
Doc.
All right, thanks a lot. Thanks, Stephanie.
Thank you, King.
Area code 9119, are you there? Okay. 345, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, is that me?
Yes, that's you.
Okay. Excuse me. Okay, a couple things. First of all, tell me what you think of when Carter, Brzezinski, and Rockefeller et al. Set up the trilateral commission in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, as far as you speak of melanin, melanin is secreted by the pituitary gland.
And the pineal.
And the pineal, yes. I'm sorry, the pineal gland. Mm-hmm. Which is a source of creativity and so forth.
That's right.
Scientifically, it's been proven that, by and large, the Caucasian mind or pineal gland has been calcified.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so as a result, it leads to the barbarity and all the other atrocities
savagery
that people upon. Thirdly, is that this is why based upon what we said, and I think most black folks feel inherently, that we do have an enemy, and primarily that enemy is the Caucasoid.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, and we fail to realize that everything he got from Kemet, like you said, going back, but yet we do not want to study that. And the rule of if you're an athlete or you're in war, the first thing you do is study your opponent and know what he is supposed to do.
Right.
And so, and another thing is that we are taught through negative reinforcement.
Yes.
Black folk are taught to hate the African history and so forth.
Yes.
And the great legacy that Africa spawned, and fail to realize that if you do any cursory research, you can, on a broad panoramic view, you can see that the folk of Africa have a history that goes back a million years, not 6,000.
Mm-hmm. Way longer than that.
Yeah, I'm just using round ballpark figures.
Yes,
now,
sir.
We don't have to debate that. That can be proven by the signs and symbols that were left wherever the Twa man went.
Yes, sir.
And another thing is that if once we begin to learn that, is that and understand and not always depend, we've been so conditioned to depend upon someone to do something for us. And so the more you know, you start withdrawing, you don't fall into every trap that's set out there for you for the express purpose of beating you down psychologically and materially. Because it's just like, not my saying, but just like crabs do not pull each other down when they are in their natural environment.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I just wanted to make those few comments.
Thank you, brother, for that, man. You're absolutely correct, man. You're preaching to the choir. I totally agree. And for those that don't know, Caucasian people, scientists, a lot of these scientists, they have a conference that they have every year that's sponsored by the Fabian Society. Google that. It's also sponsored by the Jason Society. Google that. You hear a lot of people talk about different secret societies and all this crap, but they don't ever get into the Jason Society and the Fabian Society. Very, very deep organizations. There's another one called the SETI Society, and they have a global conference in which only Caucasoid people can attend about melanin. Every year they've been having it since 1960. Okay? Every year they've had it and talking about melanin, the same chemical, galactic cosmic chemical, evidence of the Most High, the same thing that these black people are bleaching it out of their skin, these people are getting together and finding ways that in which they can get it in their skin. This is what's going on. Everything that we think is irrelevant to us is of deep importance to these people, to the point that they have pineal parties where certain rich Escalon people get together and they eat pineal, black people's pineal glands. Okay? This is documented. You know what I mean? Google it. I was watching Real Sex the other day, and they had a thing where this witch was eating her placenta. You know what I'm saying? And then they brought in another one, and they said, well, whose placenta is this? They said, oh, this is a placenta I bought from this black woman that just had her baby. This is on TV. This is regular TV. It, to them, they feel that if they ingest it, they'll be able to excrete melanin out of their pores. But what it does is it has a precursory effect on them, and it begins to retard their system. Some people have even said that it's led to spontaneous combustion, in which they've actually burnt up, because people don't realize that melanin, the thing that makes people dark, is actually alive. It's a living substance that helps with intuitiveness and magnetism also. And this is all the stuff that they found out in the conferences that they've been having since the 60s about melanin that no black people can go to. How can you have a conference about melanin, the thing that makes black people black, but black people can't go? What's up with that? What are y'all talking about that I can't hear? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you making me feel? It sounds like it, but it's real. I met a scientist who went to it. He brought me some documents from it.
But it sounds like misinformation.
Well, what were they
talking about at the conference?
The one that I was speaking to with the scientist, they were talking about the fact that they found melanin in meteors. And their hypothesis is that space is black because it is basically comprised of dark plasma. And dark plasma, when it is contained in a human form, is this. So they are finding ways, they want to find ways to harness this and able to them to understand more about so-called space. So what are they saying in that realm? So by that, you're saying that the thing that makes me dark-skinned has connections to the intergalactic cosmos. That's what you're telling me. This is why they have to paint the bottom of the space shuttle black in order for it to break orbit. Because if it was all, because all of the shuttles that they put up that didn't have the black bottom burnt up. Why? Mm. Because they coat the bottom of it with a synthetic form of melanin. So my question is, where are they getting enough melanin to coat the bottom of a spaceship from? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So then through deductive reason, and I think of where could they get that much to do that with? Oh, what about all of the people that got killed during the whole thing in Rwanda? What about all of the black people that's getting killed in Darfur? What are they doing with all of this stuff? These people don't waste nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the level of the game that a lot of us as human beings with souls and stuff like that, we have a hard time digesting this. That people are actually on it like that, but every movie they make, every book they make, every TV show they make about the government, they show you how the government is raping you and killing people and setting people up and destroying them and eating them and all types of stuff. But yet and still, black people still joining the police, black people still joining the army,
right.
White people still doing it. They don't. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It's to the level of the game. It's not even about so much. Look, I could sit down with anybody on the planet and build with them and on a level of equality and not feel on the outside of them, because 10 chances to 1, no matter where they from, I could show them how some type of original person, man or woman, was in the beginning of their culture. Now, that doesn't make me a racist. That makes me a person who loves my culture and love my ancestors so much that I am willing to read anything, you know what I mean, to investigate
right.
anything that has to do with keeping them here. That's what really what I'm saying.
And also, someone in the chat room was saying that another way that they're getting melon is through abortions with
yes,
the black
through abortions
babies.
As well. Through abortions
yeah.
as well, they're getting it from there. Also, they use placenta in hair dyeing chemicals. You could get a thing called placenta henna at the drugstore.
Yeah,
that's made from placenta. That's made from the no, not all of it. Not all of it. Some of that is coming from animals, but not the high level stuff. That's coming from humans. Just like most of the hair that the women get, black women get for their weaves and stuff, that's coming
mm-hmm.
from little babies or little girls in India that after they reach a certain level, they shave their head off and then they sell the hair.
Mm.
I mean, because that's the ritual they do over there.
Mm.
You know. So again, we're talking about a bunch of different things. But spiritually, the destruction of the United States, right, creates a vacuum in which now something has to take its place. You see what I'm saying? Because people depend upon government. And I mean, we all do. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But it don't make it right. And it don't mean
so,
it's going to be there forever.
So what's going to take its place?
Well, in America, the idea is, They're going to create, like I said, what they call the climate debt, in which
okay.
now all the industrial nations in the world, led by the United States agrees to flip the bill, and all the industrialized nations that destroyed the world from the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, which is at the end of the Civil War, to now,
mm-hmm.
will all agree to pay the third world a certain degree of money that comes out of what they call the carbon tax. When that happens, the United States now goes into receivership because it now has to consolidate all of its assets for the accountants, the international accountants, to come in and break down what states and what countries get what, right? When that
mm-hmm.
happens now, the idea is that they break down the United States between the Eastern District and the Western District. The Western
right,
District
okay.
has one airport. The Eastern District has another. Then what happens is, the United States is broken down into this third world country. American status passports get rescinded, and then they basically make you a signatory of this deal that no American citizen or government can get out of unless all 200 nations let them out of the deal. So that means
wow.
that this is going to be in perpetuity. You know what I'm saying? Until, you know, the major, major revolution comes in and destroys everything once and for all.
Sound like a prison planet to me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the only difference now is that, you know, the only difference between something like that happening then and this happening now is will be that, you know, you have more like tanks on the street. But in certain American cities, it's like that right now. So
now. Now, can't we get, now since we are connected with, they say that we're connected with outer space, so can we connect with our spirituality, our melon, and turn this around?
I think the only thing that's to me, you know what I'm saying, this is my opinion, I think that whenever the human race, right? Well, let's say humanity is threatened, that there is something that happens that clicks on in us that
mm-hmm.
allows us to do extraordinary things. Remember they say, be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid?
Right.
This is what they're talking about. And these people or these entities know that. So they're trying to grab this thing and keep this thing going as long as possible before they drop the hammer. Because once they drop the hammer, they know that anything can happen. You see what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? Because now you're coming out of the realm that people are used to, and you're thrusting them into a realm in which they are not attributed to. So there's no rules anymore. You understand? This is what I mean about anarchy. Like, I'm not an anarchist per se, but the modern definition of anarchy is a bunch of people taking care of themselves. And in that, when that happens, that is exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be those of us, right, who are going to fight to keep our souls, right, and fight to ascend to the next level of our spiritual evolution. And they're going to be those of us that are going to fight to keep the things, to keep this thing or institute a government that is like this one, but more stringent. And you have black people, again, who are going to be the bulwark of this thing. Because when this whole shit goes down, people are not going to start going. It's not going to be, they want a race war, but that's not what's going to happen.
Mm-mm.
What they're going to do is they're going to throw all of the traitors, all of those house niggas and stuff that have been setting us up all the years, thrown in our face. They're going to throw Jay-Z and Quincy Jones and Barack Obama and everybody else at you. They say, see, these are the niggas that were selling you out. Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and Russell Simmons and everybody. Everybody is going to be thrown out there. And while we're focusing on them, they're going to be finding somewhere else to go.
Mm-hmm.
They made a movie called Knowing, where they're trying to find out. They just came out with a movie 2012. Okay? And when you look at that movie, for the listeners, the main characters, again, who lead the world into the new so-called horizon, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, right, is the black president who's acting like Obama. There's the black geologist, right, and then there's the daughter of the president. And they are the ones who basically lead everybody into the future. So what's up with that? You see what I'm saying? Whenever you see movies with the end of the world, they always got a black president. Why is that?
Right.
Why are they? Why would they? Why is it that we always got to be president when the thing is over? You know what I'm saying? But all of the black presidents that existed before that, we all look at them as white Caucasian people, like Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson was a slave to the day he became president.
Mm.
To the day he became president, the slave catchers was trying to catch him because his father was black, his mother was Irish. Okay, we're not even talking about the presidents before Washington. Even Washington grew up on a black man's plantation that the black man owned, a family called the Camerons. Like, people, we have no – my biggest thing is that those who do not know the past are doomed to repeat it. And we have been repeating this thing for so long, all of us, that it's getting to the point that we have to – there has to be something else. Life is not going to work 9 to 5 every day. You understand what I'm saying? Life is not – worrying about if the police is going to pull you over. That's not living. You know what I'm saying? That's barely surviving. That's getting by. You see what I'm saying? And they done made the whole planet like that to the point where, again, everything on the planet, from the dust mites, you know what I'm saying, to the whales, to everything, he has made an enemy of everything. And then to boot, kill God, said God don't exist. God is dead. That's what Nietzsche said, right? And then he steps in and becomes God of the material realm. But again, once you get black people to co-sign shit, it becomes the shit. It becomes what it is. Mm-hmm. So if I could get original black women to co-sign Robin Thicke, then we don't need Marvin Gaye no more. You understand?
Right.
If I can get original black women to co-sign Justin Timberlake, then we don't need Maxwell. Okay? If I can get, you know, Jay-Z, for instance, to put the machine, okay, on the cover of Jay-Z's album, they have a machine on it, right? And it's in a room where everything is painted white. And when I did the knowledge, I said, what is that machine? I realized, oh, that's the machine that they use to infuse the album with whatever demons they want to put in it. Because people don't know that in every record label, major ones, especially New York, and I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen the room with my own eyes. They have a place called the Temple Room, where after your album is mastered, they take your album to this thing on the full moon, and they put it in the Temple Room that's under lock and key, and it's usually either on the 13th or the 33rd floor, and in the room, it's a giant room about the size of a stadium, it seemed like. Or maybe that's too generous. It may be about the size of, like, a gymnasium.
Okay.
And in the middle of that room, it's usually black and red. And in the middle of that room, they got an altar. And that's where they put the master disc on the altar. And they call in 13 different witches to come in. And they imbue whatever energy they want to put on that CD, and they ask whatever principality or power or demon that they conjure up to follow every copy of that master.
Mm.
You understand? This has been going on in the music business from the time of Robert Johnson. Okay? So we're talking all the way back to, like, the late 18th, you know what I mean, early 1900s, they've been doing this. Because why? Because the music industry was started by gangsters who happened to be of the Jewish persuasion, like Meyer Lansky.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, this is not, this again, because, you know, people take things literally. This does not mean that all people who call themselves Jewish are like that. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the ones that's running the game. Clive Davis, Tommy Mottola, Leo Cohen, who is actually a Mossad agent. Yeah, he's Italian Jewish. All the same shit. So, again, this is why everything on the radio sound the same. This is why all of the children now becoming so hypersexual. You understand what I'm saying? It's not
mm-hmm.
just because these dudes are saying this. It's because there's a demon attached to that, man. And
mm-hmm.
people don't think that these things are real. But every movie, every TV show, everything that these people put on TV is telling you that this is what they do. But this is what they call hiding in plain sight. This is a part of government called statecraft. Anybody can get the movie Wag the Dog, and you can see Hollywood's involvement with government. They
right.
work in tandem. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's all the same thing. But what is Hollywood? Hollywood was the wood that Merlin used to make his wand. So
mm-hmm.
that's why they call it that, because that's the place of illusion. But people don't know that all of the movies that Hollywood made in its beginning were all porno films. They used to call them stag films. Until Walt Disney came, right? And then Walt Disney came and they gave Hollywood a facelift with all of the pretty cartoon characters and stuff. But people don't even know that he was a pedophile. That he
right,
was indicted for that.
That. Yeah.
Okay? So these are the people. These are what they're doing. I could show you a Disney film right now where it'd be a bunch of penises dancing around and all of that. Look at Fantasia, the scene where you had the mushrooms dancing around. Those are little penises, man.
Mm.
That's what because the mind looks at things in the form of what they call simulacra, which means
mm-hmm.
that you see something that is a symbol for something else. So this is what the mind does automatically. So when my little girl is watching this thing, she know what a penis is. She know what a mushroom is. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
naturally you see them dancing around, jumping through holes. What do you think that is?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Then you wonder
right.
why your baby is pregnant at 12.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You have little girls getting cancer now. Getting their periods at 7 years old, that wasn't happening when I was growing up.
Right.
Come on, man. Come on, man. But people, again, think that this is normal, that this is how things are. Oh, that's just how it is. You can't fight City Hall. All of these terms to keep you from doing something about it. You know?
Now, we're down to 7 minutes. I want you to tell the people about your class and where they can get in contact with you.
Anybody who is interested in signing up for the Dark Plasma Synthesis class that's being held by Asir, the Duke of Tears, you can go to www.asirthedukeoftears.com to see any of the older materials or whatever. But if you want to make a payment for the class, again, it's going to be a 13-week class. We're going to do, I think, probably from 7 to 8:30 or 7:30 to 9. Yeah, and you can go to you can make a deposit at sales@dukeoftears.com or dukeoftears@gmail.com through PayPal, and you can go on and log at that. It'll be $50 a month, and you get materials with it. And worksheets and everything that we can do to consolidate it. And also what I think is going to be great about it is that I'm going to be giving out or through the class be selling documents, like I said, that I received from certain people that are going to these melanin conferences, you know what I'm saying, that black people can't go to and stuff like that. And I've made copies of some of the stuff and, you know, I'm giving it out through the website and all of that. Also, anybody
mm-hmm.
wants to see any of my older lectures that I have on DVD, you can go to www.asirthedukeoftears.com or www.asirthedukeoftears.net and see any of the other things. I did most of the things that we talked about today, I've done in-depth lectures on, you know, that are on DVD that people can get for a good price. And my main...
Now,
please, go ahead. I'm sorry.
What are you going to be teaching in your class?
We're going to be going through the origins of how this thing started, you know, the difference between what people call occultism, you know what I'm saying, and Luciferianism, Satanism, all that other stuff that these people are dealing with, because a lot of people don't even realize that their practice is Satanists and Luciferians, and they don't even know, because they've placed their faith in a religious system or something like that that's being manipulated by people who can't even say the name Jesus in the lodge or the ritual, whatever they're in. You know, how to know. Also in the class, we're going to go through pantomimes, how to know when somebody is BSing you, you know, how to know when somebody's lying to you, what to look for, what a pantomime is, you know, what are the seven liberal arts. These are things that a lot of people, most people on the planet, are not even really focusing on right now. But again, it's thrusted in our face every day through other means, such as detective shows, or, you know what I mean, or different things that you have to go through in college and stuff like that. Also, we're going to get into, like I said, the key components are going to be magic, finance, history, and spiritualism, because these, to me, those are the things that affect everybody the most, you know, and I feel sorry for those people who are not spiritually acclimated for things, because spirituality is really going to be the only thing that's going to be able to save anybody, you know what I'm saying? Your level of commitment to the unseen, you know, the things that you can actively affect, and how to create places of power for yourself in your home, you know, things like altars and things like that. Like, those things are very, see, we as black people also don't realize that, you know, people put roots on us, you know,
right.
And we don't understand what that's about, because all of our grandmothers and grandfathers stopped talking that stuff to us when the split came between the younger generation and the older one. You know, they began to believe the things that the younger generation, you know, the gang violence and all that stuff, is that these kids are criminals, they need to be locked up, when really the gangs and stuff is going to be America's last hope. They train every day. They are training every day to learn how to deal with Bloods and Crips and stuff like that. Why? Because the youth, right, the ones that's born now, they don't want to hear none of it. You cannot, because these kids are, the ones that are incarnating now are the ones who are incarnating to destroy this stuff. And I know, because I got a little boy. Actually, I got three kids. My son, Ariza Sirali Allah, his mother abducted him. I'm still looking for him. My daughter, who is 10 now, she is smart as a whip, man. And I got to be honest with her. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Same thing with my son. My son, he's not even two yet, man. This dude, I asked him, who's a new wizard? I show him pictures of Anubis because, you know, I have an altar stuff. Who's Anubis? Who's Nefertim? He knows. You know what I'm saying? And he can't even talk yet. So imagine when he starts talking.
They come here knowing. They come here with the knowledge. Dr. Spirit, we're down to 1 minute. And again, I want to thank you for joining us and giving us this knowledge. And again, where can the people, where's your class and what day your class is going to be on?
We're going to start on December 17th at 7 o'clock. And we're going to go till 9. If anybody wants to make a donation to the class, the donation would be, I would say, $50, because it's $50 a month. But in that, you get a plethora of information, stuff that's taken me maybe 17 years to compile, okay?
Okay.
And you're getting a lot more than that. And again, anybody wants to get any of the older DVDs that I've done, lectures that I've done, you can check me out at www.iseertheDukeOfTears.com or iseertheDukeOfTears.net. Speaking of Barack, the last one that I did, anybody wants to know about, you know, what was going down with Mike, I did a tape called End Time Cover Stories or Contradictions of Cover Stories, and it's on the website. You can check it out. And, sister, I really commend you for having a great show and allowing people like myself to come on and talk this stuff, because if it wasn't for venues like this as well as the people supporting, you know, I wouldn't know what I'd do. I'd probably go crazy.
And I just want to say we appreciate you, and you keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And thank you again.
Thank you, Queen. Again, thank you, everybody else. Thank you for neighboring. Still for left. All right.
Bye-bye.